Well, sometimes we don't get this opportunity, but I want us to all use our imagination a little bit this morning. So take a moment, sit back as we travel back in time. You even have permission to close your eyes, and no one will think that you're sleeping. Unless you actually start snoring, then we will all know. So take a moment, quiet yourselves, think back. It's the year 30 BC, near the time of Jesus' ministry. We're in Palestine. There's a lot of sand and dirt and rock. It's hot during the day and turns cooler at night, something we all long for around here a little bit. It's very late, around midnight. There's a small stone house off in the distance with one door and one window, and the only one that's glowing with light. They must be burning that midnight oil. As we take a look inside, we see the children fast asleep in the family bed, the mother sitting at the end of the elevated platform, mending an old robe of her husband's by the light of a lantern. The father is at the door leading in the livestock for the evening. And all of a sudden, he hears someone calling out his name, a familiar voice piercing that cool, still moonlit air. And as the father squints down the road, he sees a man waving his hands and a staff in the air and wonders, could this be my good friend coming down the road? The father quickly waves back, big grin, and then ducks inside and says to his wife, our good friend is coming from miles away. We have no bread to share with him, so I'll run next door and borrow some from one of our neighbors, since they always have enough bread left over at the end of the day. Now, you see here, we have a couple of things going on already. A couple of rules of hospitality in the house of Judaism here. We have, number one, the man with a visitor must provide generously to his newly arrived friend. No saying, okay, here's your bed, just go to sleep. You know, you have to have a little merrymaking going on. Second, the neighbor must help another with a request, even for bread at a late hour. So the father slams the door, waves at his friend who's drawing all the more close, and then disappears around the corner into the night. As the father's running, I can imagine what's going through his head. Oh no, there's no lights on anywhere. My neighbor is probably fast asleep. If he wakes up, he's going to wake up the rest of the family, crawling over all the kids in the bed, trying to get to me, disturbing the livestock on the floor. No one's going to be happy. He's not going to want to get out of bed. He finally reaches the neighbor's door and knocks firmly three times. Do not bother me, a voice comes from inside. The door is now shut. My children are in bed with me. I cannot get up and give you anything. Again, the father knocks three more times. And as he leans into the door, he hears some huffing, some grumbling, as the neighbor stumbles around in the dark, looking for his lamp and some matches. Suddenly, there's this red glow coming from under the door. And the father thinks, I'm saved. My neighbor has gotten up. The next thing happens, the door opens slightly, and the father quickly but politely asks, can I please borrow three small loaves of bread? My friend is just now coming down to the house, and I have nothing to give him. So the neighbor agrees and tiredly fetches three loaves of bread. Then the father races back to the house, wondering if his friend has finally made it. And as he turns the corner, approaching the front door, he sees his friend standing there and greets him with wide open arms full of bread. The father takes a deep breath and says, my friend, welcome. Come on in and won't you have some bread? And then we hear angels and all singing, can you feel the love tonight? Right? We all hear it. I can hear it in my head. Angels singing. From the Lion King. Because that's what it's all about. It's feeling the love of a neighbor, the love of God within us and through us and all through us. And that's really what our gospel's talking about today, is feeling that love. In this morning's gospel lesson, before Jesus uses this story in comparison to try to reinforce how great the Father's love is, he gives to the disciples a simple prayer that they can pray habitually. The prayer being the beginning of what we know today as the Lord's Prayer. And we all know it. I'm not going to go through it with you. We'll say it later. And I won't touch on it too much because Father Joe gave us a fabulous series on the Lord's Prayer less than a year ago when he came back off a sabbatical. So online you can find that if you missed it. It was fabulous. But first and foremost in the Lord's Prayer, we begin by recognizing who God is as Father, the creator of all things, who loves us more than anything. And then we acknowledge that he is holy, that God is set apart, bringing glory to his name by giving him the reverence due. And only after we've given God the glory first, we pray for our present needs, saying, give us this day our daily bread. And pray for our past sins, saying, forgive us our sins, for we ourselves forgive everyone indebted to us. And then we pray for our future trials, saying, and do not bring us to the time of trial. Now think back with me to the Old Testament. Just as Israel, in the book of Exodus, chapter 16, had to gather up manna that God had provided for them in the desert, that they would learn to rely on him solely, him alone, every day. Jesus gives to his disciples and all of us a prayer designed to be used each and every day, anytime, praying for the things that are happening, praying for things and people that are upon our hearts, praying that we would not fall into temptation this day, and instead live for him moment by moment, situation by situation. It's not a check off the box, I did it today, we're done. Or I did it Sunday, we're done. All right? God wants us to continue to come back to him time after time after time after time. And not only in our gospel lesson does Jesus teach us how to pray, giving us this example, but he also teaches us about prayer. Now, when I first read this parable, my initial inclination was to think that Jesus is simply using the story to tell us to be persistent in our prayers. Persistent as little Bree is trying to pull open the kitchen doors, which I have pinned against with my knee, so she won't do it. She's trying to break in, and then she starts to have a temper tantrum. That's not the persistence we're talking about. That's not. Because she's trying to create change, and we're not praying to create change. As scholar William Barclay reminds us, we are not to batter at the Lord's door with our prayers until we finally get what we so desperately want, coercing an unwilling God to act. It's not about that. Instead, the parable of the friend is Jesus trying to get his disciples to realize their huge opportunity that is laid before them, simply to come to God, to come to Jesus with any and all requests that they have, whenever, wherever. And that might look a little like persistence, but really it's more about being present in what their God, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, is really up to and wanting to do for them out of his great love for them. So prayer is about having this conversation marked by a real relationship, bound by real trust with a real God who would do anything for his children, taking the time required to have a healthy relationship. For persistence in prayer doesn't change God, but it does change us. It changes our life, influencing our hearts, our minds, and can help us understand and express our urgent needs before the throne of grace. And this is what has occurred recently in my life that I'm continuing to learn about. nothing earth-shaking, but I found myself coming to God more than once, repetitively, to pray for my nose, to pray for my sinuses, because as trivial as it seems, I didn't want this cold that was starting to blossom, which you may have heard or might notice that my wife and Bree still have a little bit. This last weekend, I was headed off to a retreat, and they were sniffling and snotty and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, I don't want this. I don't want this. I'm going away on this retreat, and I can't be coughing on my neighbor, and I surely don't want to be stuck in my hotel, sick and missing out on all that God wants for me. So what do? I'm driving, and I lay hands on my nose and drive with my knee, and I'm praying. Sure, and I'm praying, asking God to take away the inflammation, to take away whatever I'm feeling. Now, did it all of a sudden, poof, I'm done? No, it didn't happen. There were still some lingering symptoms. But I noticed that I don't have what they had. And usually, that's what happens. You know, Bree brings it home from daycare. Kate gets it, then I get it. It's just how it works, right? But God had a different plan. He brought healing. He brought healing little by little, and I never got, praise the Lord, what they had. Now, as I said, if you look around, they're still dealing with this cold, even though I've prayed for them and laying hands on them. So does that mean that God heard my own personal prayers and acted upon them, but not acting upon my prayers for others? Or is it more about teaching me something, about continually coming back to the Father, trying to step into what he is already doing, that I would experience his tremendous love? This, brothers and sisters, is, I think, what our Bible story is really trying to get at. Truly, less about persistence and more about seeking and finding the love and graciousness of our Father in what he is doing and what he loves to do, blessing and bringing wholeness and healing to his children. As William Barclay says, if an unwilling neighbor can be coerced into getting out of bed to give a persistent neighbor bread for his guest, how much more will God, who is a loving father, give to all his children what they truly need and desire? In prayer, if it seems like we're not getting what we're asking for, it doesn't mean that God is grudgingly refusing to give us what we desire. The truth is, he has always has something better in mind for us than we will ever know. But it's about being in that relationship with a God who loves us more than anything and wants us to be free and whole and joy-filled balls of light running around each and every day, free from the junk of the world. That's really what it's about. And asking God what he's doing, and then jumping on that bandwagon. If that's for our healing, praise the Lord. Thanks be to God. If it's not, maybe it's somewhere else that's going to happen down the line with someone else. We don't know. But we have to have faith. But that's really where the hard part is. And I've said this a couple times. So in the Bible, if things are repeated, it means listen closely. So if I'm repeating myself, it's because it's important. We must keep on coming back, asking, seeking, knocking, awaiting God's answer. And again, it looks like being persistent, but it's not. It's about being present. It's about being present. Being present with our Lord and our God. As the saying goes, good things come to those who wait. In our family's case, I know God heard our prayers because I did see a change within Kate and Bree. Greater peace, some ease with their colds at night as they were hacking and coughing and keeping me up. Did he heal them right on the spot? No, but I saw a change. And the fact of the matter is, we've been praying more together than we have for a long time. So is that his purpose? Is he bringing us closer together? teaching us something else? At least reminding us, assuring us that Jesus hears our prayers and that our Father in heaven always acts out of his immense love for us and with our best interest. So that's really what it's about. It's about learning to come back around again and again and again to our God. For what? For our daily bread. For all that we need. For sustenance. For well-being. For healing. For whatever we need within the kingdom of God. So, beloved, keep praying. Keep offering yourselves up unto the Lord with open hands. Keep seeking the goodness and the love of God. And be bold in your prayers for yourself. You can lay hands on yourself. It's okay. Be bold for praying for yourself and for your neighbors and for those you don't even know. Because God hears our prayers. He really does. And he acts and he moves on our behalf in the world around us. Simply, beloved, because he loves us. There's nothing else you hear today. Hear this. The Lord loves each and every one of you and wants the best for you.